Let's open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 40, and we're going to do a little reminder to ourselves of Jeremiah's situation, because he is not going to be one of the mandatory exiled Jewish people like so many others. He has been given the gift of free will by King Nebuchadnezzar, since Jeremiah was known to have spoken the truth about what was going to happen with the Babylonians coming against the city of Jerusalem. So this is all happening in the year 587 BC. It is the summertime. The city had been breached on the ninth day of the fourth month, and that would have been the end of June of 587. And then it was burned to the ground on the 10th day of the 5th month, and that would have been in July, toward the end of July. So we are in the latter part of the summer, apparently, when this happens. Jeremiah 40. The word that came to Jeremiah from He Who Is after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah. Remember that Ramah was the processing camp just a few miles north of the temple in what's the modern-day city of Palestine called Al-Ram. Everybody was being processed there as to what was going to happen to them next. And Jeremiah was taken there from his prison cell, and then Nebuzaradan found him there and had orders to release him. So it says here, when he took him bound in chains, along with all the captives of Jerusalem and Judah who had been were being exiled to Babylon, the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, "He who is your God pronounced this disaster against this place. He who is has brought it about and has done as he said. Because you sinned against He Who Is and did not obey His voice, this thing has come upon you." So that's a quote. Nebuzaradan is quoting Jeremiah's message. Then he says this, verse 4, "Now behold, I release you today from the chains on your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come. I'll look after you well. But if it seems wrong to you to come with me to Babylon, don't come. See, the whole land is before you. Go wherever you think is good and right to go." So Jeremiah is not a mandatory exilee. He is a special case. Nebuzaradan feels like he would be honored if Jeremiah would go back with him to Babylon, and he promises to take care of him for the rest of his life. Jeremiah is in his early 60s, probably. But he also says, you don't have to do that. You can stay here. That's up to you. Verse number 5, "If you remain, then return to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon appointed governor of the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among your people. Or go wherever you think is right to go." Gedaliah is a Jewish man whom Nebuchadnezzar has decided will function well as Babylon's Jewish representative in the land, because they're not going to deport everybody. They're not going to relocate everybody out of the land. They're going to leave some of the poorest, least problematic Jewish people in the land to work the properties of the vineyards and the grain fields and the orchards to provide some sort of supplies to the Babylonian army, the Babylonian kingdom. So Gedaliah is the guy that's going to take care of that. And so Nebuzaradan says, look, if you're going to stay in the land, it would probably be advisable for you to go and live with Gedaliah. But you don't have to. So the captain of the guard gave him an allowance of food and a present and let him go. So again, showing very much his respect for Jeremiah. He gives him supplies and a special gift, which was probably silver, gold, clothes, maybe even a combination of those things. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah and lived with him among the people who were left in the land. All right, so Mizpah, I believe, is located just a few miles southwest of Ramah, and therefore just a few miles northwest of Jerusalem. And so this is where the new Jewish headquarters is located in the country. Just a few miles away is the ruins of Jerusalem. It is summertime. The war is over. The war has been lost to the Jewish people. And so that means that a few military units that were operating away from Jerusalem have now been left with nothing else to do because they can't rescue Jerusalem. It's gone. They can't fight the Babylonians because they won. And so that's what we read about next, verse 7. When all the captains of the forces in the open country and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land who had not been taken into exile to Babylon, they went to Gedaliah at Mizpah. So these guys have decided, well, we might as well and go check out the new Jewish puppet governor, see what he's doing. And here are their names. The first one is the one that you need to remember. Ishmael, the son of Netaniah. File him away as a future bad guy. Yohanan, the son of Kareah. Sariah, the son of Tahumut. The sons of Ephi, the Netophathite. Yazaniah, the son of the Malkiathite. They and their men. So these guys are former military officers and whatever's left of their units. They come to Gedaliah, and Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore to them and their men, saying, "Do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans." Now, Chaldeans is just another name for the Babylonians at this point. And so he basically offers them absolute amnesty. He is, after all, the duly appointed representative of the Babylonian Empire. So he can offer them amnesty. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. Interestingly enough, that's what Jeremiah has been advising for a long time. Surrender, and everything will be okay. Verse number 10, Gedaliah continues, "As for me, I will dwell at Mizpah to represent you before the Chaldeans who will come to me. But as for you, gather wine and summer fruits and oil, store them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that you've taken." So he tells them, look, in your amnesty, go back to living at the land. Select cities for you to live in, and then work the vineyards and the orchards and the fields that are all around those cities, and take in the summer fruit, because that's the next thing that's coming up. Make the vintage for this year and store that away. And of course, they'll have to give a cut of that to the Babylonians. That will be required. That will be their tribute requirement. Verse 11, "Likewise, when all the Judeans who were in Moab," that's across the Dead Sea, "and among the Ammonites," that's in the higher country on the east side of the Jordan River, "and in Edom," that's to the southeast of the Dead Sea, "and in all the lands heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah and appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, as governor over them. Then all the Judeans returned from all the places to which they'd been driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah. So these are refugees that when they recognized that Judah and Jerusalem were being overrun by the Babylonian advancement, they fled to Ammon. They fled to Moab. They fled to Edom and remained there until they found out that things have been resolved. Yes, Jerusalem is gone. The temple's gone. And many, many, many people in the population are either dead or they've been exiled. But the Babylonians have allowed a semi-independent Jewish province to remain intact, and that people can go there and live on the farms and in the cities and take on the agriculture and live a relatively normal, peaceful life, provided they pay whatever tribute is required out of those agricultural products to the Babylonians. And so these guys think that's a pretty good deal. So they show up, and the last part of the verse says, they gathered wine and summer fruits in great abundance. So everything seems to be settling down now. At this point, while they're working on the harvest, I want to remind you of the resolution of some of the leadership of Judea when the Babylonians deport them. And to do that properly, I think we need to go to Jeremiah chapter 52. So Jeremiah chapter 52, we've been there before and seen some of these things. Let's go to verse number 15. Now this is the deportation of the people at large. We've kind of already heard about this. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poorest of the land, the rest of the people who were left in the city, and the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon. So people who had surrendered earlier, together with the rest of the artisans. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. So we've heard about that before. Zoom down to verse 24. The captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest. This is the high priest. And Zephaniah, the second priest. So the second high priest. And the three keepers of the threshold, people of prominence in the administration of the temple and the palace, probably. And from the city, he took an officer who had been in command of the men of war, and seven men of the king's council who were found in the city. So the military command. And the secretary of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. So these are all leadership that were captured when the city fell to the Babylonians back in the fifth month of 587 BC, that fifth month of the Jewish year. So we're talking about July. Verse 26, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. So they took them from the processing camp at Ramah, just north of Jerusalem, up to Riblah, which was the regional headquarters of Nebuchadnezzar, because he's carrying on more military operations than just the one against Jerusalem. And these guys are determined to be war criminals. And the reason they're declared war criminals is because they had sworn an oath in the name of God Most High, in the name of He Who Is, that they would serve Nebuchadnezzar. But they didn't keep that oath. And so they are traitors, not just simply to Nebuchadnezzar, but also to the oath that they made in the name of God. And so verse 27 reports, the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamat. And so that is the end of the high priest, which is the reason why we saw in the book of Lamentations that the people were not going to have their high priest go into exile with them. He never made it any farther than Riblah. And so Judah was taken into exile out of its land. Now, let's go back to our Jeremiah 40 passage. Now that we know how things were resolved for the spiritual and political and military leadership of Jerusalem and Judah, how they were declared traitors and executed, let's see what happens with these military guys that showed up at Mizpah and decided that they would start being farmers again. Jeremiah 40, verse 13. Now, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the leaders of the forces in the open country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. All right, so this is one of the guys that showed up. Coming back across the Jordan from over in Ammon, or maybe he was down in Moab, but he knows about things that's going on in Ammon. Verse 14, he said to him, meaning he said to Gedaliah, do you know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, to take your life? So remember, I told you to remember the name of Ishmael. So this guy is reporting, listen up, Gedaliah. One of the guys that has shown up here has taken on the task of assassinating you. The king of Ammon has decided he wants you dead, and he's going to use this guy as a tool to get it done. But the scripture reports, Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, would not believe them. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, secretly spoke to Gedaliah at Mizpah. So he's kind of told him this when he first meets him. But now he kind of says, look, we need to talk more in depth about this privately. So he says, please, you've got to let me go and strike down Ishmael, the son of Netaniah. No one's going to know it. Why should he take your life so that all the Judeans who are gathered about you would be scattered and the remnant of Judah would perish? So this former military commander, he sees how things are. He knows that peace has kind of settled in on the remnant that's remained in the land, and he doesn't want that disturbed. And he sees Ishmael as a threat to that. And so he says, look, Gedaliah, you've just got to allow me to go and assassinate him before he assassinates you. Nobody will know that you've done it. Nobody will know you were involved. I'll take care of it. Because why should we let this good thing that we've got going on here be disrupted by him? Verse 16, but Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, you shall not do this thing, for you are speaking falsely of Ishmael. So Gedaliah, for whatever reason, doesn't want to believe this bad report about Ishmael. And it's going to cost him his life. Chapter 41. In the seventh month. Now, the seventh month of the Jewish year, in this particular year, began in the middle of October. So the harvest, all of that has been finished, and the Jewish people are probably thinking about getting ready for the next year's agricultural cycle, the planting of the grain that needs to start in the eighth month. But they also have some festivals that are supposed to happen. So it could be that as the Feast of Tabernacles is coming closer, that even though it's not going to be as happy this year as it's been in years past, that they're going to bring a tithe of their harvest and present it to Gedaliah as the leader of the remnant of Judah that's left in the land. And Ishmael seems to take advantage of this seventh month gathering. It says, in the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, son of Elishama, of the royal family, so he's somehow tied in with the royal family, one of the chief officers of the king, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, as they ate bread together there at Mizpah. So they're having a meal. Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, and the 10 men with him rose up and struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword and killed him, whom the king of Babylon had appointed governor in the land. So he assassinates him exactly as he'd been warned would happen. Ishmael also struck down all the Judeans who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah and the Chaldean soldiers who happened to be there. So anybody that was pro-Gedaliah gets killed in this assassination. And the few Chaldean, the few Babylonian soldiers that were there as the security force for Gedaliah, they apparently weren't paying attention enough. They didn't do their job well enough, and they get killed too. So what's happened here is this is going to come off as a Jewish rebellion against the Babylonians, and that's not good. Verse number 4, on the day after the murder of Gedaliah, before anyone knew of it, 80 men arrived from Shechem and Shiloh and Samaria with their beards shaved and their clothes torn and their bodies gashed, bringing grain offerings and incense to present at the temple of He Who Is. So here are some people of Israel from the northern kingdom area that apparently have been living in the region since their kingdom was taken apart. And they must have been in the habit of bringing offerings down to the Jewish temple. And in this year, they're coming with great grief and sorrow and mourning with their offerings, which are primarily related to the Feast of Tabernacles, because the temple has been totally destroyed. It seems as if their plan is that they will check in at Mizpah and then go over to the ruins of the temple and make some sort of offering. But they don't get that far. Verse 6, Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, came out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he came. As he met them, he said to them, come in to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And when they came into the city, Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, and the men with him slaughtered them and cast them into a cistern. So he has decided that he's going to be the new big boss, and anybody that looks like they were cooperating with Gedaliah is now an enemy. But there were 10 men among them who said to Ishmael, don't put us to death. We have stores of wheat, barley, oil, and honey hidden in the fields. So they basically try to buy their lives with hidden supplies. So he refrained and did not put them to death with their companions. Now, the cistern into which Ishmael had thrown all the bodies of the men whom he had struck down along with Gedaliah was the large cistern which King Asa had made for defense against Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, filled it with the slain. So this is right at the border that had been between Judah in the south and Israel in the north when Asa was king. And so this cistern is pretty old. It's many hundreds of years old. Then Ishmael took captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters. So apparently a few of the king's daughters had been left behind. All the people who were left at Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, took them captive and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. So he did this assassination at the request of the king of the Ammonites. So he seems to think that he's got a connection over there that he can trust, where he can get away with this. But, verse 11, when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the leaders of the forces with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Netaniah, had done, they took all their men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Netaniah. So this is the guy that had wanted to kill him before he could kill Gedaliah. So now he came upon him at the great pool that was in Gibeon. So he catches up with him very short distance away from Mizpah on the way eastward toward Ammon. And when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the leaders of the forces were with him, they rejoiced. So the captives see in this pursuing force their salvation, that they're going to be rescued. And they are right. That is what Johanan has in mind. But we will have to save all of that for next time we get into the Word.